Radio Influence. The future is now.
You know her from network radio, but now she's on the net and in your head. This is the Fabulous Sports Bit on Radio Influence.
Hey, it's me. It's the Babe Cast. I'm very excited today. Oh, there's so many things to tell you. First of all, how much did I love what the Warriors did in the last minute over there and knocked out the Cavaliers, and they're up 3-0. I think people are walking around going, well, what happened here? I mean, they'll win tomorrow. You got to believe that. But I just love that the Warriors came up and they said, here, deal with that for a little while. And that is over, too. They can say whatever you... I know he came back and did all that. That's not going to happen this year. That's not going to happen at all in the millions of that. And by the way, I'm sorry, but I just love whatever the Nashville Predators... I mean, we like Subban. He's from Montreal. I remember all of that stuff. But I just love him to death. And, you know, I got to be honest, if it wasn't that team or Boston, I'd probably like the Pens fine. But I just love this team, and I don't know anything about it. I'm going to watch it. It'll be okay. You know what's back? Well, I'll tell you about it later. Let me just tell you what we're going to do. Wait a minute. Rat Boy's going to come here. He's going to tell me about the Astros. Here's what I know about the Astros. They've won 40-some-odd games. The Yankees have won 33, and the Rockies have won 38, I think it is. And I think Astros are, they're like 13 and 15 games ahead of everybody in the American League West. If you're the Angels in Seattle, you're way the hell back there. And I'm like, can this really happen? Well, it's already the beginning of June. Where are they going to be at the All-Star break? And where are they going to be in the beginning of September? I have to tell you, I'm liking these Astros. We're going to find out about it. Rat Boy, and he will explain to you why he is the Rat Boy. But he is going to come and see us right now because, after all, it is the Babe Cast. Would this be the Rat Boy?
Oh, God. Just call me Trump Boy at this point.
Well, I like the Rat Boy because that's who you're always going to be. And hello, Cliff Sanders. How are you?
Hello. How are you?
I'm all right. How are things down there in the deep south? What is it? You know, I was going to tell people, but I never do. You do something down there, and I'm not sure what, but you do something with the Astros as well. So I say, oh, let Cliff figure it out. All right. You tell me what you do down there.
All right, Monday through Friday, I'm basically on news duty for our news talk station. And on Saturdays, I get to play in the toy department, so to speak. Although, with the way Washington is, that might be the toy department at this point. But I do get to do my bread and butter, which is baseball, which is Astros pre- and post-game on our sister station.
Well, now, first of all, do they send you to anything when you have to do the news? I can't imagine you're going out doing anything.
Well, you know, when I took this job, I thought, okay, I'm going to have to cover, you know, city council meetings, stuff like that. And I realized right away that that wasn't going to happen. So I think I've gone out on assignment maybe 3 times in 5 years. The last
time. That's even better. Yeah.
Yeah. The last time was September, and it was a doozy because we had, we had a shooting where some guy down here decided to basically commit suicide by cop and took out 9 people, hurt 9 people with him. Well, that guy was living in our development and literally was a neighbor of ours.
Of course.
And we see the breaking news flash on the TV in the newsroom. And I said, okay, that's literally 100 feet from where I live. To which my boss says, get in the car and go.
Go. Did you
so
have
I
a
get so, there?
Go ahead. Tell me more.
I get there and I run into one of my friends from our television partner, and I sneak past the cops with her because, you know, she was better looking than I am, and they let her through and they weren't going to let me through pretty much.
Right.
And we're driving down towards the scene, and she said, what do you know about such and such development? I said, well, I think I should know a lot because I live there. Well, what do you know about a black Porsche? I said, oh, crap. I said, if what you're telling me is true, I know exactly who did this.
Oh,
and it, from 7 o'clock in the morning that Monday until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you couldn't touch anything around there. And
wow.
they finally let us get our cars and move our cars back in at like 9 o'clock at night. But you know, there are still lawsuits pending over this whole thing. So every once in a while, I hear from one of my neighbors who is involved in this. Yeah, I don't think we're going to get anything. I said, well, that's the reason the guy committed suicide, because he lost his professional life and he just, you know, snapped pretty much. Well, so yeah, that was the last time. That was the last time I went out on call.
There we, Houston. Can you hear me? That's exactly what's going on in that. Now, can I talk to you a little bit about the Astros? Because that's why I want you on this show. Because
I thought it was to talk Trump.
No, it's not about Trump. It's about this. Now, I've got to tell you this. Here's what I know. The Astros are like a million times more. The Rockies have 38 wins. Yankees have 33, but the Astros have like 42. They're like 13 and 15 games behind everybody. And I'm like, do you remember the thing that was in Sports Illustrated where it said like the Red Sox now, but in 2017 or 2018, it would be the Astros? Do you remember that in Sports Illustrated?
Yeah,
like, I don't know who it was.
I still have the magazine. It was 2017, and it's certainly playing out that way. I mean, we knew they were going to be good. I don't think there was a question about that. We knew this was going to be a good baseball team because of the moves they made during the offseason. What we didn't know was that they'd be this good. And that being said, you know, there are still some chinks in the armor. I mean, it's not a perfect team by any stretch of the imagination.
But there they are, and they're doing this. And I thought it was going to be next year, but you said it's 17 now. I know Altuve and maybe something else, but tell me what's going on with this team, because everybody must be having a great time there. You got to believe that.
Well, you know, first of all, here's what you have to understand about Houston. I've said this before, too. About half the 4 million people that live here are actually from here. And about half of them, because of various industries, whether it's energy, whether it's the medical community, whether it's tech, come from somewhere else. So, well, it's not a passionate sports town like, for instance, New York. New York, you know, how much more of a passionate sports town can you get? Chicago, same thing. And everyone's dialed into the local teams. Here, I would say it's a football town, but it's because everybody loves the NFL. I don't, you know, the Texans are the Texans. They're their own separate monster. But when it comes to the Astros, you know, now people are starting to take notice, whereas maybe in the last couple of years they haven't. Certainly when they were losing over 100 games, they weren't taking notice. But what I'm noticing doing some of these post-game shows is they lose a game. And remember, you're going to win 60, you're going to lose 60. It's what happens with the other 42.
Exactly.
That counts.
Right.
You lose two games in a row. I was talking to the guy during post game last night, and there were people on the ledge looking to jump. And I deal with this on Saturdays when I do the show too. I remember in April, I had callers telling me, "Yeah, move Carlos Correa down in the lineup. Maybe he's not as good as we thought he was."
Okay.
Look at what Carlos Correa did in the month of May. Now get back to me. Well, maybe we shouldn't have signed Carlos Beltran to that contract. He's not producing. Carlos Beltran has never hit April. He's never really hit May. He comes around at the end of May and into June, and here comes Carlos Beltran right now. The concerns would be with the starting rotation, where it's Dallas Keuchel, who had to leave his start before the game last night because of an illness.
Yeah.
You know, other than that, he's been fantastic. And Lance McCullers, who's just been lights out for the most part this year. After that, it's like Keuchel, McCullers, and holy crap, let's just hope we get through the rest of the rotation without getting killed.
But it really is better than that right now, because, I mean, I know about Keuchel, I know about Correa, I know about Altuve, but do I know the rest of the people, McCullers, people like that I've seen? But I think to myself, and what I love is the people that are calling you didn't know anything about baseball 3 years ago, right?
You know, exactly. They were Texans
exactly.
fans. They were Texans fans, and that was it. You know, they're getting timely hitting in late games. Look, George Springer is turning into a very nice piece. He may still strike out too much to be a leadoff hitter, but my God, the power component that he brings to the game, to that position, and the multi-home run games that he's had lately. I mean, he's really, if he can stay healthy, you know, he's going to have a monster season. Josh Reddick has been a perfect fit, not only on the field, but in the clubhouse. He's a guy that when he was with Oakland, he got overshadowed because, you know, Oakland. And, you know, they traded him to L.A., and I think the Dodgers thought he was going to be something that he wasn't. He's much more comfortable here in Houston. He's a Southern boy, a big Ric Flair fan, as we now know.
Yay.
And he's been exactly what this club has needed. Marwin Gonzalez has been the super sub, and he always had a little bit of pop, but he's taken that to the next level this year. It's really been an effort that everybody has taken a part of. Even Alex Bregman at the bottom of the order, who has struggled at a lot of points this year, he's had his moments. And they've gotten some dynamite performances out of the bullpen by Chris Devensky, who came up as a starter, didn't stick as a starter, but he's kind of been that multi-inning guy that you can turn to when the game is really, really tight. And they have a couple of guys like that, quite frankly. So A.J. Hinch, I think, has done a marvelous job of blending all this talent and putting the right pieces in at the right times to get things done. It's been, you know, way beyond expectations for people who've covered this team.
Hinch has been there for some time, but I can remember AJ doing other things as far as like coaching and things like that. But is he in the right place at the right time for these guys? Maybe it's perfect for him too, you know?
I think the situation when he came in, when they fired Bo Porter, I think that Jeff Luhnow was looking for a guy who truly believed in what he was doing. And I don't think Bo Porter really believed in what Jeff Luhnow was doing. What Jeff was doing, the GM of the Astros, was he saw a situation that had to be torn down. And he sold the owner, Jim Crane, who knew him from their time in St. Louis. He sold him on what he was going to do. He said, look, I'm going to tear this down to basically expansion level team, and then I'm going to build it back up. It's going to be painful. Yeah. For a number of years. And what Bo Porter, as the manager, said was, okay, this may wind up working out, but it's not going to work out for me. So he started making noise that, you know, hey, we got to think more about now and not 2016. So he was let go, and Crane gave Luhnow the power to do that. AJ Hinch, who did not work out as a manager his first time around, I believe in Arizona, was with San Diego, and I think Jeff Luhnow found a kindred spirit in terms of, you know, the advanced metrics, what they were doing, how they were going to go about it. And I think Jeff is sort of like, hey, you know, we're not looking to change managers every 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. We bring you in for the long haul. Now, nobody expected what happened in their first year together in 2015 when they actually made the playoffs. Nobody expected that.
Mm-hmm.
But AJ has been, this is a young team, an emotional team, and he's been that steady hand that has guided them. And honestly, when they hired him, I kind of thought, oh, okay, this is going to be a guy that's just going to basically do whatever Jeff Luhnow wants and pretty much be a yes guy, and that's it. But he's been way, way more than that. And unfortunately, because it is Houston, it's not New York, it's not L.A., it's not Boston, you're not hearing, I don't think, nationally enough about what this organization has done, what this manager has done, and what they're building. You're just not hearing about it.
Do you think one of the things is after the Cubs won, if you're Houston and you're a baseball fan, you're like, well, the Cubs just won, so why can't we? I think it gives huge, I mean, the Rockies are doing really well. I don't expect them to be good in September, but you know what I mean? I think that because they won, everybody said, well, why can't I win? Why can't I win? And Houston's feeling the same way right now.
And if you look at how Theo did it in Chicago, it didn't start with the Lesters and the Arriettas. It started with the Anthony Rizzos. It started with young guys like Starlin Castro, who's now with the Yankees. It started with young guys that when they got good enough, they decided, okay, go all in. Let's go get Lester. Let's get Hayward. Let's get Zobrist. And obviously, they have the World Series to show for it. And it proved, I think, to Jeff Luhnow, okay, if you're close and you sense you're close, that's when you go all in. And I think that's what he did. And I think, you know, the trade for Brian McCann, who I think the Yankees thought was washed up, he's obviously proven he's not. That was the first thing. I think people were kind of surprised by the Reddick signing, but again, that was also about fit off the field as much as it was on the field. The Beltran signing really shocked it because of what happened after the 04 season, the way he left. And they just kept adding pieces and adding pieces. And they were still, up until the start of spring training, talking to other clubs about another starting pitcher, Quintana from the White Sox being that guy. So they knew they were close. I don't think they realized they were as close as they wanted to be.
Get closer to the phone. I can't hear you very well right now, by the way.
All right.
You're much better. I don't know what the hell you were doing if you were out by the pool or what. I was like, what the hell are you doing? Get back on the phone. I'm not done talking to you yet. That's what I've seen in all that. No, don't go to the pool. Don't go anywhere.
95-degree weather with 95% humidity. Nobody's going to the pool here.
Let me just ask you something, because it's getting to be like that here, as we all know, but let me just ask you something. Do you ever go anywhere? Do you ever go to the golf or anything, or you just hang around in Houston?
I do go up to Austin. I go up to Austin more than a lot of people.
No, not Austin. I'm talking about the Gulf of Mexico, not Austin. I'm talking about going to Galveston and stuff like that. Do you go out there, or you just sit around in Houston all day?
I go to Galveston as often as I can. I really do. It's a beautiful part of the area. And when it's not hot, when it's comfortable between October and April, you walk along that beach and it's just absolutely fantastic. And there's, it's a tourist attraction, and you can get kind of, you can spend more money than you want, no doubt about it, but it's a very nice area. I see why people come down here and never leave. You know, the only bad part about living in Galveston, and you know this from living in Florida, is we have this little thing called Atlantic hurricane season. And, you know, everybody is, you know, worried from June 1st until the end of November. Because
tell me about
of
it.
What, look, you know, we had Hurricane Ike down here back in 2008. And since then, they have been talking about this. They call it the Ike Dike system, which is going to be some sort of barrier that is going to protect the coast. But all they've done about it for 9 years is talk about it. Nothing has actually happened. So all the residents there, I mean, there were complete neighborhoods that were wiped out by the storm. And you've been through more than one hurricane. I know that. So you know how much damage these storms can do. Some of these neighborhoods have never, ever been rebuilt. At the same time, there are some houses, and I have a friend from high school that's down here, and she rents a beach house in the summer for the kids. And some of them have built so much sturdier than they were before.
Oh, yeah.
But still, you get one of those Cat 3, Cat 4 storms rolling through. It's not the wind. It's not even the rain. It's what that stuff brings with it from the Gulf of Mexico.
Tell me about it. I know all about that. I mean, like, I got to the point where the 1st of June, I became more and more hysterical, if you will. I was okay at first, and then, like, it came, and then I was like, when June 1st came along until November, I was like semi-hysterical, and I said, I was nuts. The pool, the boat, I couldn't do with it anymore. It made me crazy. Can you tell me about Dallas Kuchel and tell me if he's any good for the Astros? Is he still good? Because if I remember correctly, did he not no hit the stupid Rays at one time? I think he did at one time. I think he did.
Yeah, I believe so too. You're probably 100% right about
that. It's probably the only thing I know about this, but please tell me everything about him. I want to hear everything.
There's not much to tell, to be honest with you. There's not much to tell. I mean, the guy has just been everything you've expected him to be.
Well, doesn't he have like a really low ERA and stuff? He's pretty good right now.
You know, when he came up a few years back, he was the guy who was wearing number 60. And you looked at him and you thought, okay, he throws in the high 80s and that's it. There's nothing else there. And he didn't stick. And you didn't see him much in the 13 season. And then he got up in the 14 season, and it was like a different guy. It was, you know, it was a transformation that people didn't expect. And in 15, everything just clicked. You know who he reminds me of, babe?
Hmm.
Greg Maddux. And I'm not saying he Maddux. Is Maddux.
Whoa.
All right. I'm not saying he is Maddux because I don't believe he is. But from the standpoint of, this is a guy who, when you see him warm up as an opposing batter, and I've had more than one guy tell me this, you see him warm up and you think, you know what? I should be able to hit him. I should be able to handle him with no problem whatsoever. Then you get into the box and you realize what he's doing in terms of moving his pitches and mixing his speeds, and you can't touch him.
So let me tell you, when I was in New York City, somehow you were there, and I didn't understand that, but mm-hmm. you were there. I had a dream. And you know where I lived? I lived way the hell up in the 50th floor or something. But I had mm-hmm. a dream that Greg Maddux came to my house and taught me how to pitch fastball. And we moved everything out of the way, and I'm catching it. Like, I know what the hell I'm doing, right? And he's throwing, uh-huh. I just thought I'd tell you, that's when I lived in New York and you were there, and it was, that's when you were Rat Boy, and now you'll always be Rat Boy because of that.
I'm never not going to be Rat Boy.
No,
but
you aren't.
How was I not involved in that somehow? As if you were throwing, if you were throwing the fastballs, wasn't I the guy that was supposed to be catching him?
No, I was catching, and he was throwing. And I thought, oh, that's really good. And I'm like, your hand would be in the next county. What are you talking about? But it was a great dream while I was there. That's all I know when I'm talking about that. What do we do about that Altuve, who we love, love, love? Is he grown at all? Because I love him. Is he getting any bigger? They love him because he's little.
They list him at 5'7". I am telling you, from having been in that locker room and standing next to him and being 5'7" myself, I tower over the guy. But I have never seen a guy that small in terms of his height, that jacked. I mean, he's got muscles in places guys don't have places.
Yeah,
it's amazing. And I got a little ticked off. Our mutual friend Rob Dibble last year started making some, I don't want to say disparaging remarks, but
he was saying he was on steroids. What else could he possibly
pretty
say?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
He was saying that. And Jose Altuve is one of the hardest workers I've ever come across. Extra BP, he's there. One of the first guys in the room. One of the last guys to leave. Loves the game. Works his butt off at this. And he is simply the product of hard work. And the most consistent, not only player, but in terms of his attitude, the guy never gets shaken. If he makes a mistake, and he's made a share of mistakes, don't get me wrong. He's made a share of mistakes. But the guy just picks himself up and just acts like nothing happened and just keeps going. To me, you know, you very rarely see guys like that these days.
You know, one of the things about him, because he's from Venezuela, and I wonder about this, I don't know how to say this, but let's see if I can do it. The ball, when it comes from Venezuela, instead of you dropping down, here's the glove and the ball goes into it, you take it like that, it goes like this and you throw it. But it seems to me that the people in Venezuela have this thing where it bounces on the bottom of the glove and they grab it with the right hand and it doesn't go into the webbing of the glove. Does that make sense to you? I've seen it a million times, but I don't know if he does that. Who's the guy from Seattle that the shortstop that I loved in Seattle?
Vizquel. It was Omar
Vizquel. Exactly. That's exactly what I was talking about. Vizquel did that. I can't help it if I don't remember. But he would not go in. It would hit on the bottom of his glove. And his hand was there, so it went from the glove to the hand and then throw. So he didn't have to go to the glove. And there was like this second difference that made a difference for him and made a difference for everybody that was at first base.
Yeah, but Omar was a fantastic defensive player. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Altuve is solid defensively. I don't think Altuve and you're not going to compare Altuve and Vizquel in terms of defensive ability. I mean, Omar was just, you know, a cut above. Yeah, I mean, he was just are cut above everybody else. Altuve is no slouch by any stretch of the imagination. But when you're talking about a guy like Vizquel, in terms of defensive players, as we know, I mean, that's godlike right there.
Does it make you crazy that some of these people were born like the same time when we were doing ESPN? Does that kind of make you a little uncomfortable that these guys are playing baseball and we were there a couple of, you know, two decades ago? And it's like, I don't know, Rat Boy. It's kind of like, does it make you crazy? I think McCullers is one of them. He was right there when we were doing the horrible stuff that we were doing for them. You're Rat Boy at the time, yes.
Yeah, you know, you bring up McCullers, and I was joking with him a couple of weeks ago in the locker room. And I said, you know, believe it or not, you're still young enough to, I'm old enough to be your father. So now when he sees me, I get called dad in the locker room. And not only that, you look at some of the, you talk about how the media game has changed too. Because we've got people who are covering this team on a daily basis. And they're all very good. But some of them were born when I was graduating high school in 1989. Mm-hmm. That blows my mind. It just absolutely blows my mind. There's one guy who writes for the Houston Chronicle. He's not the regular beat writer. He's kind of there as the backup beat writer because they have two guys. And he's 28 years old. His father works for my brother-in-law at Paul Weiss Law Firm in New York.
Oh, Lord.
So, I mean, you know, and here I am, 45, soon to be 46, no kids. And it's like, this guy's looking at me like, okay, so I just moved down here. I don't know anybody. What should I do? And I'm like, great. This is not the position I was longing to be in, but, you know, here's some advice. And
yeah.
It's like, you give these kids advice because they ask. But, you know, being almost 20 years older, they're looking at you like, dude, you're old.
Yeah, they do say that. And you know what? I don't care anymore. If they think I'm old, I don't care. Because I can spend some time doing this. I want to do this for you because I was talking to Bruce Levine the other day. And I said to Bruce Levine, because you'll understand this, I said, he will never be a Hall of Famer, but I think Zobrist is one of the best players ever I have ever seen because he can do anything and he'll never be a Hall of Famer and he's great.
And I agree with you, Zobrist. And you know, I think that's a comparison that I use with Marlon Gonzalez when people talking about the kind of season he's having, because Marlon can play first base, he can play second, he can play short, he can play third if he has to. Any outfield position they've stuck him in, I haven't seen him pitch and I haven't seen him catch, but I'm sure if they asked him to do that, yeah, that's what he would do. Some guys, and like Zobrist, because he's not great at any one thing. I think we'll all stipulate he's not great at any one thing, but what he does is he gives you everything he's got. And look, you know, Joe, beating Joe Madden, he has to match touch with certain guys. He has to match touch with a lot of guys.
God, yes.
And he knows how to get through to certain players and explain the role to them in a way that they understand, okay, I may not be playing every day and I may not be in the same position every day, but I'm an integral part of this team.
Right.
How many managers do we know that have a guy like Zobrist that can't communicate that kind of role and make the guy feel like he's, you know, the most important guy? Madden is just a fantastic guy handling young guys. And, you know, I'm not going to say that A.J. Hinch is anything like that because I don't think he is. But you know, when you talk about the success that a Zobrist has, it's really got to also go back to the way that Joe Madden handles it. So when you talk about the success that a Marwin Gonzalez has, it's also got to, you know, be part and parcel with what A.J. Hinch is doing with him. And I think AJ has done a good job at explaining to him, look, man, I may not need you on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, but you better be ready Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Right.
You better be ready to do anything we ask of you. And, you know, there's a little bit of a movement to get Marwin Gonzalez into the All-Star game. I don't know if that's going to happen this year or not, but, you know, hitting the 9 home runs early on the way he did, you know, made a lot of people stand up and take notice. You know, look, with the Astros off to the kind of start they're off to, there are a lot of reasons for it. Do not underestimate that one of those reasons is Marwin Gonzalez.
Are you having a good time there in Houston?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when I moved down here, it was kind of like culture shock because, yeah. You know, first it was the East Coast guy living in the Midwest for all these years. You know, culture shock coming down to Texas. But, you know, as I said before, half of the people that live here are from here. The other half are from somewhere else. And if you've ever been to Texas, there are two distinct Texases. You've got big city Texas, and I would put Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, and Austin in that category.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very much like, in terms of attitude, it's much like New York. It's much like Chicago. I haven't spent enough time in LA to really, you know, give you a feel, but, you know, liberal, open-minded, tolerant of certain things. And then you go outside of the big cities and you hit areas like, okay, Amarillo, Lubbock, Lufkin, even Waco.
Yeah.
You know, very, very conservative, very much closed-minded. And look, you know, to each their own. I'm not, you know, not ripping anybody or anything like that. But there are two distinct Texases. And had I moved to a different part of the state, I don't think I would have enjoyed it as much as I have. But this is a very, very, you know, nice part of the state. Maybe Dallas is a little more metropolitan. I never expected when I got down here that I thought when I moved down here that I knew no one. I literally knew no one. And when I got here, I realized that there were about 5 or 10 kids that I went to high school with that had moved down here. So we have, you know, we have our own little circle that gets together every once in a while. And that's kind of nice. And my wife adjusted, you know, Cheryl adjusted very, very well. At first she was working out of home, which wasn't good for anybody, but you know, the medical community down in the city is terrific.
Yeah.
It was described to me before I moved here as the medical community is on steroids.
Yeah.
And the guy that was telling you that was 100% right. Because I've never seen it. You know, we have districts in this city and you've got the medical district. It is literally a blocks long area just lined with hospital after hospital after hospital. And it's interesting how it's all set up.
All set up. I like the way that you do that. Well, he seems to be having a good time with the Astros. Now, Ratboy, tell everyone why you even have a damn job.
Oh, well, because back in, I want to say it was 1996, not to make anyone, you know, feel their age or anything like that. Somebody needed somebody to make them coffee. And I discovered I had a talent for doing it for you. And I don't know, you kind of kept me around for it because it sure as heck wasn't my talent for anything else.
Well, that's right. And that's exactly why you went to New York with us and did everything. And I appreciate it. Ratboy, I love you. Thank you for coming to visit me, honey.
Anytime. You know that.
Now you know why the guy has a job. It's only because of me, as always. I'm glad that you did all that. We found out everything we needed to know about the Astros. And I also said, what's it like living in Houston? It's a big town. It's like the fourth largest market or something. It's a huge town. But it's like here, it's 95 degrees and we don't really go anywhere. So that doesn't matter. Do you only come out to come to my house just to annoy me? Because, you know, it's just annoying. You know, Jerry feels like he has to come to my house and sit across from me because he's afraid I'm going to say something. Well, what difference does it make? You know, I think he just wants to get out of his house. Do you go to UFIT? Is it good? You can talk, Jerry. They're going to hear you anyway. What do you do? Should I go with you? No, I don't want to go there. No, I don't want to go there. That would be even more. All right, I got things to tell you. Ink Masters is back. And I love Ink Masters on, what is that? That's on Spike TV. I love that. And it's back and the new one is on. But I have to tell you, I got something very exciting the other day. This is a Christmas shopping list for the fabulous sports babe, as long as I win this auction, so Gino says. and it's the Jeremiah Rabers flat-billed hat worn during the filming of Return to Amish. Now, is this called T-A-P-H-E-R? Is it taffer? Or is it farty pants? I don't know what it is. I mean, I think it's great, and I thought it was wonderful, but now I'm like, does anybody care? I don't understand this. Do you know what it is? I don't know what it is, and I'm trying to figure. But he said as long as he wins the auction's at $115. But I don't know if that's taffer or farty pants. I can't figure out what it says here. I don't, is that, here, you look at it, since you're doing nothing else as a damn producer here. Is that a taffer, or is that an F or a T? You're the worst. You don't even know. Well, then if I figured that out and I said, well, all right, but is that really what I thought it was going to be? And I thought, taffer, tapper, I'm so stupid. I'm just not hip at all. I've just realized I'm not hip at all. I thought I had it. I'm like, no, I don't have any idea of what this means. I thought, and I said, well, you know who to go to is the Urban Dictionary. And I said, well, they must have it. Guys walk past, guys say to friends, yeah, man, I'll tap it. That's it? Oh, for God's sakes. That can't be it. He's worried about that? Oh, come on now. Yeah, Mr. Ex-Amish. And by the way, since if you're into Jeremiah and those guys, he's in jail or some stuff for domestic abuse. The other one, what's her name? Sabrina, who I'm not ready until Sabrina jumps off the Empire State Building. But she's back in jail again. I mean, you know, you might as well go back to the Amish because you suck being English. Let me tell you something. Last weekend, I don't know how, but I was playing around. I think I was playing around on the computer, and I thought, oh, that one Manchester thing was on. So it took me an hour to find it. I had it in the computer just rolling up. And then I finally found it on that ABC called Freeform, whatever the hell it is right now. First of all, I don't know that much about Ariana Grande. All I know is she's about this tall and sings the brains out. I mean, she's unbelievable. But don't tell anyone. I love Justin Bieber, but don't tell anyone. He came out and played Sorry, which made me very happy. He played, and I mean, there were people, and there's a lot of people at that Manchester thing that we saw last week that a lot of us don't know who are already big hits, like The Mix and The Black and White Women, and you were like, what was that? That's what that was about. But Coldplay was there, and Justin was there. Somebody, I don't know who else was there. Oh, Liam Gallagher. All I know is, don't they fight each other? Isn't that what they do? So I thought, oh, he's there, and he hasn't bitten anybody, so I thought that was fairly good. But you know what? The girl was terrific. Katy Perry was terrific. What's her name? Smiley Cyrus, whatever her name is. She came out and looked ridiculous, but that was okay. And, you know, I just, the balls that they had to do that again right then and there, right in the next week, I just thought that was like the best thing. And there were so many people that were there, and there were a lot of people that we didn't know, but a lot of them are big time in England. But it was great. And I mean, you know, she was, there were so many people there. Did you see the cops were dancing around? I mean, it was just, you know, at this place, we'd probably have everybody shut down. You're not allowed to do anything. And I just love that they did it. Anyway, I don't know anything about Ariana, whatever her name is, but she was absolutely terrific at the One Love Manchester. Or is it called Love One? Whatever. I'm the Babe. I have to do things, and Jerry has to go home and leave me alone. Goodbye. It's the Babe Cast. Goodbye.
If you know the Babe at all, you'll know the show never ends. Follow her on Twitter at Real Sports Babe and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. This has been the Fabulous Sports Babe on Radio Influence.
I'm Jerry Petuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out radioinfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, radioinfluence.com.